I moved here in June of 2017. I knew that I needed to create a following. I walked down, the business is no longer open, unfortunately, but there was a brewery called Bearded Bird. And I walked in, had a beer. I was like, oh, you guys are new. They said, yes. So I'm new to the area. I'm opening a yoga studio soon. Would you be interested in yoga? And they were like, sure. When? And I was like, let's do it the first weekend of July, which ends up sometimes not being a good thing. July 4th, people travel, things like that. I knew not a single person here. And I will never forget that class. We had 18 people. Community-based is still, it's a huge part of us. It's a backbone for us. It's how a lot of people just even get to know us, how they know of Sky's the Limit is because they did yoga at a brewery. They did it whenever they got their coffee.
Hello, and welcome to the new Mission Career Transition Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Caprellian. We interview service members that transition to new careers, DoD representatives, and civilian HR professionals to provide you with lessons learned you won't get in a transition class and to help you transition with confidence. On this episode, we have Danielle Talley. She is a business owner and she owns Sky's the Limit Yoga Company in Norfolk, Virginia, which is a brick and mortar yoga studio. And she owns The Caffeinated Yogi, which is her coaching practice. She's going to tell us what it's like starting a business from scratch, how to scale going from virtual to brick and mortar, how to use merchandise and what's the return on investment. And she'll also talk to us about the benefits of yoga, particularly for those of us getting ready to transition or retire and we've got some problems. There are some great benefits of yoga. Hey, it helped me out. I like running. I can still run. And part of that is because of some of the mobility and flexibility that yoga has given me. It works for a lot of endurance athletes. It could work for you too. So lots of great information, so stay tuned. The Caffeinated Yogi, Danielle Talley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I'm glad. Thank you so much for coming on. Hey, folks. So we've got a little bit of some interesting and different content from the previous episodes. Danielle has had some interaction with the military, but we're going to talk about two things. First of all, I admire how good her business runs. Okay, so she's got a yoga studio called Sky's the Limit Yoga Company in Norfolk. And when I'm sitting in there, and I'm a member there, and no, I'm not getting anything out of this. I just think it's great information to share. Her business model is so tight. And I think it's just worthy of having a conversation with somebody about how do you grow organically from scratch a business and the lessons learned along the way. And then the second thing, all right, so maybe some of you aren't big David Goggins fans. Some of you are hardcore David Goggins fans. I'm a David Goggins fan. And if yoga is good enough for David Goggins so that he can continue to run and do all the crazy things he does, hey, it's good enough for me. I found myself at a point where I was overtraining and it just happened to coincide with my daughter wanting to get into yoga. And so we started it, but now I continue it as a supplement to my practice. And since then, I haven't had any sports or running related injuries. And I think I credit that to the mobility and the flexibility that and the strength, but the unique strength that I think yoga gave me. And we'll talk a little bit about that too. I'm going to stop bobbing my gums and we're going to get to the guest. All right. So Danielle, we want to give the listeners kind of an orientation on your background and where you came from. So I'm going to throw you some softballs here. Where did you grow up?
Well, first off, before I answer that question, I'm already going off of what you're asking me to do. I apologize, but I didn't know that your daughter had wanted to do yoga. Like, I know she comes to the studio, but that warms my heart to hear that that was something that, you know, she was intrigued in as well. That's really sweet. It's really cool.
Yeah. She was into it. Yeah, she is into it. And I think she's also into telling me how I'm doing it all wrong. And so, but yeah.
Smart little girl.
Yeah, she is. She is.
All right. Well, to answer your question, now I live in Norfolk, Virginia, but I am from Spring Hill, Florida, which is about an hour and a half north of Tampa. In Florida, I lived in Spring Hill, Tampa, and St. Petersburg.
All right, cool. And then your formative education, I mean, where did that happen? What's your education background?
Yeah, so I went to the University of South Florida in Tampa. I have two undergrad degrees from there, one in criminology and one in international studies. And then I went to Utica College, which is based in New York. I went there for my graduate degree, which I have my master's in economic criminal management, aka nothing related to yoga.
Yeah, well, then that's interesting because like what you do now and then like looking at your education background, not that I think it, I mean, I guess it shouldn't really be surprising. A lot of people go and study something, but it's not exactly what they end up practicing in the long run. Where does yoga fit into your origin story?
So I guess for me, it kind of relates to how I got into yoga. So for me, whenever I was growing up, my main form of activity was dance. I danced competitively for years. I taught dance. One of my few fun facts is that I danced on Broadway whenever I was a kid. And whenever I was in college, I auditioned to be on their dance team, which that was kind of a different version of dance than what I did. So the dance that I grew up with was more of the ballet, tap, jazz, modern hip hop, that feel. And whenever you do a dance team at a school, I like to say that it's like dance and cheerleading mixed together. So I really wasn't the most intrigued with it. No offense to cheerleaders. They do some really cool stuff, but it just wasn't me. But I still missed dance. I missed that form of movement. So I auditioned. I got it. Yay. And I never accepted it because whenever I like went in, you kind of go in and like sign your contract, you get your uniform, you know, all this stuff. And they basically had said that I had to step on the scale and I was not allowed to be plus or minus 5 pounds the entire time that I was on the team. Mind you, at this point in my life, and really for me, and I never have had that much of an issue with what the scale says. From a physical standpoint, you know, I've never been severely under or overweight. I've never had a mental issue with the number either. But I don't want somebody to tell me that my number can't change. That was really hard for me to swallow. So I decided to not accept. It was probably one of the first times that my mom and I really did not see eye to eye. She thought it was a great opportunity and I just thought it didn't resonate with me. So long story short, somebody that had also danced and had a similar upbringing as what I did, a good friend of mine, she went down the yoga path and she was like, Danielle, you should try yoga. And I was like, absolutely not. I don't want to meditate. Like that was all I thought yoga was. And she's like, dude, you have no idea what you're talking about. You should try a hot power class. And I was like, I don't want to have a hot, sweaty meditation. Like that sounds awful. That does not sound like something I want to do. And finally, I stopped being stubborn and I decided to take a class. And it was one of the hardest things at that point in my life I had ever done, ever. And I was like, I have no idea what this is. Like there's so many foreign things to me, but I'm intrigued. And that is for me kind of how yoga came about. And then I would say what really pushed me to yoga was I realized that being in the corporate realm, was I working directly with people? Yes, which that is always something that I know that I like, that I do well with. I do well with working with others. But I also realized that I really find my drive whenever I am helping others. And for me, what I did in corporate America was not the feeling of helping others. At least I didn't get that kind of fulfillment. And I felt it whenever I was doing more of the teaching or the coaching aspect, and the realm of teaching and coaching that I liked fell to more of the movement of the body. So that's kind of what led me to yoga.
All right, great. Let me fill in some gaps here because I just want to make sure that we're all tracking. You went from practicing a lot of dance. Dance was your thing. You go to college. It's criminology. and degrees that kind of not related to what you do today. Then you worked in corporate finance, and then it's in corporate finance where you started developing a passion for yoga, and that has brought you, I know I'm probably skipping a lot of history, but it brought you to kind of where you are today. And where are you today? Just to clarify for everybody, what is it you do today?
Yeah. So first off, just so that we're all on the same page, because I'm sure we'll keep talking about maybe times and things like that. I did a lot of stuff overlapping. So I got both of my undergrad degrees at the same time. I studied yoga while I was going to school. And I was in corporate America while I was going to school. So, and I think that that is definitely part of what has helped me to be who I am in business now, because I don't think, even though I don't recommend the type of, well, I can't even say work-life balance. I had no balance. The word balance did not exist for me. And I don't recommend that as to what I did whenever I got to where I am. I almost like to say that, because some people would call that more of the grind culture, right? And I recently talked to somebody about this. I think that you need some grind culture, but you need to make sure that you're not giving yourself too much grind culture. Like, in order to be at a comfortable space, you have to put in the hard work, but that doesn't mean that you should put in the hard work the way I did, where I got strep throat 1 year, like 3 times, because I was just, physically, mentally beyond exhaustion. So that might help some people to understand timeline a tad, but to answer your question, what I do now, so I have 2 different businesses. One is Sky's the Limit Yoga Company, and our brick and mortar is based in Norfolk, Virginia. We also do a bunch of what we like to call community classes, which means that we take yoga to coffee shops, to breweries, and we do that within 7 cities of Hampton Roads. My other business is The Caffeinated Yogi, and that is where I work with everybody from strength, nutrition, mobility coaching. I do that all one-on-one. A very large majority of that is done in the online space, but I do meet with some clients in person, or maybe a virtual kind of Zoom feeling or stuff like that.
All right, great. A good level setting for everybody. And then you have some interaction with military service members and veterans. Like, can you describe that?
From the studio perspective, from Sky's the Limit, I don't always know if somebody is in the military. It normally comes up in conversation. As if it's somebody that comes in one time, I might not ever know. If it's members, you know, I like to really strive to make sure that I know the members. I actually had somebody that recently joined, and she is in the military. And she said that the main reason why she joined was because the second class that she tried, I knew her name as soon as she walked in. And she was like, I felt so like, you know, you cared. I felt loved as I walked in the door. And that's something that we put a lot of pride in. But we do see people inside the studio. I guess the main thing I would say there is, I don't always know if somebody is or has been in the military. I do have a better understanding whenever I work with people one-on-one. And I think the main reason why is because one's in a group setting and one is a personal setting, right? So in a group setting, it might not be something that you talk about. And that's okay. You have that, like, it's your space for a reason, right? I'll never intrude on you in a yoga class. From a one-on-one perspective, I normally try to, even my questionnaire, it's just me understanding, like, why do you want to work with me? What are things that you're looking to do? And for some, it will be that, and I always forget what this is called, so feel free to interrupt, but the physical fitness test. With TCY, I work a lot, the Caffeinated Yogi, I work a lot with people one-on-one to either hit a certain weight, or from a strength training perspective, helping them to hit their mile or whatever the physical fitness test is. So that is what I do the most now. And I guess one other part of how I've worked with the military is I have done some work with Wounded Warriors Project. I've done some in Florida and some here in Virginia. Both of those have been more from the group yoga perspective.
thanks for that background information, and thank you for helping our wounded warriors, because that's a that's a big thing. You know, we definitely a population that we all care about and want to protect and help out.
It's by far for me in my, you know, just, I've worked with so many different walks of life. And one of the times, this was in Florida, these were a bunch of people that were physically wounded, right? So paralyzed in a wheelchair, like that was my whole population in this class. And everybody had a assistant, I guess I would say, because think of it like this. If you see somebody in a wheelchair, you assume that they are like that yoga is not an option for them, but they still need to not only move their upper body, not only move their arms, but they also need to be able to move their legs. Like, I'm sure we've all had that Netflix and chill day where you're just curled up in a ball and you're being a lazy little potato, and like, that's fine. No judge zone, but you get up to go to the bathroom and all of a sudden your legs are in, like, your low back is really tight and really cranky. Well, they are going to feel that if they're paralyzed from, let's say, the leg down, they're going to feel that pain in their mid back. And there's no, well, they think there is no way to be able to relieve that pain. And it was such an, it was such a rewarding feeling for me. And it gives me all the feels, I guess I'd say, as I was able to help guide this class where each assistant would kind of help to be able to move a leg so that we were able to open up the hip joint and things like that. Just because the muscle-mind connection is not there, that doesn't mean that the body shouldn't move. We need it to move. So I was able to help with that. And it's probably something that'll stick with me as a something that just really warms my heart till the end of my time on this earth.
Hey, that's awesome. And it's like I'm sure it makes a lot of the challenges of being a business owner. You know, I'm sure there are downs, there are points in time where you probably get stressed out, but it's those moments that really keep you going.
Oh, 150,000%.
That's great. Well, I want to talk about now, kind of focus on your brick and mortar, but I know it didn't start as a brick and mortar, Sky's the Limit Yoga Company in Norfolk. What is the genesis story behind Sky's the Limit Yoga Company?
Yeah, so they actually kind of intertwine. So the Caffeinated Yogi, TCY, Sky's the Limit, STL. And that's probably how I'll continue to reference them, just so I can save a few words.
Hey, but, awesome. Listen, we deal in acronyms all the time. It's usually the problem is remembering what the acronyms stand for. But hey, listeners, let's not forget. You know, like, let's roll with a new set of acronyms. All right, go ahead.
Exactly. So whenever I was going through my yoga teacher training, I really didn't know how I wanted to grow yoga and me. I knew I wanted to teach. I had no idea what that was going to look like. And one thing that I knew that I understood when I was going through yoga teacher training is you have to build a relationship with people. You have to build trust with people. And all I kept thinking of was, I have nobody really that trusts me in this realm of yoga. So I actually started my first form of any type of communication of, I would say, the world of health and fitness to others was through a blog that was called The Caffeinated Yogi. So that is how everything started, was back then. I am so happy to say that you cannot find the blog anywhere, because that thing was awful. It was the first time I ever did anything. I made my own website, which also was awful. Even some of the text was not me and writing a blog. That was not the correct business venture, but it was a start, right? It was a way for me to start to grow. From there, I didn't really know how to attract an audience. So I made a business Facebook page, because that was for free. And I called it The Caffeinated Yogi. And I would attach different events I was doing. This is in Florida. I would attach different yoga events I was doing. So let's say yoga at the beach. I did yoga at an art museum, like a bunch of different places. I would post those on this Facebook page, and I would share my blog stuff on this Facebook page. Then I'm gonna fast forward to where I'm like, okay, I want to do something. At this point, I'm doing this yoga thing part-time. I was working with a studio and I was kind of doing my own thing of what I again call community classes at the art studio, things like that, all while I was working corporate America. So this was my part-time gig. And I knew I wanted to do yoga full time. And the main thing that I kept hearing as I started listening to just business advice, the main thing that I heard was that you need to find your niche. And I agree with that to a point. I like to think of it as you need to find like your little elevator pitch. You know, you need to find the what makes you different. And yes, some people would say that that is your niche, but I think that sometimes your niche can be of like people make it so complex and it doesn't have to be complex. So for me, what I realized at this point was that you have this awesome yoga community. Like if you go into a yoga class 90% of the time at a yoga studio, you walk in and it's very quiet. You're not supposed to really talk or anything like that. And let's say you and I go to Tuesdays and Thursdays. We always go to class at 6 p.m. And we almost start to feel like we know each other in a way. Like we know where we roughly set up in the room. We kind of feel comfortable enough to do an awkward wave as we're leaving. But I know nothing else about you, you know, because I'm quiet. I'm not supposed to talk. And I viewed it as this is this awesome group of people that have no way to be able to expand, have no way to be able to grow this community. So then I thought of where do I like to go to meet people? Where do I like to go from that for that community feel? And my mind immediately went to coffee. So my vision then went to how can I open up a yoga studio and coffee shop? I started really brainstorming as to how I could do this in Florida. And I realized I was really pushing it. Like I loved living in St. Pete. If you look up now, and if anybody listening has been to St. Pete in the past maybe 3 to 5 years, even the difference of 3 to 5 is crazy, but the cost of living there is now just insane. And even whenever I was looking at commercial real estate, this would be, gosh, like 8 years ago, I was like, I don't think this is something in my wheelhouse. Like this is really high. And the studio that I worked really closely with, I didn't really want to compete against them. That my whole following, you know, I would refer them there. And I was like, it just didn't feel right. It wasn't sitting right with me. So then I started looking at other areas of Florida. Yes, I said in my intro that I went to Utica College for my master's, but I was only there for like 2 weeks. My program was primarily virtually, and I had to be there for a short period of time. So my reason for telling you this is I had always wanted to move out of Florida. People always ask me why, and I always tell them, once you have a 95 degree Christmas, you will understand. It was not for me. I didn't like sweating on Christmas Day. So I started looking elsewhere. A lot of people in Virginia call this the farthest like south that they lived, or they call it the south. For me, this is the farthest north that I've lived. This is actually the farthest north that I even searched. And the thing that I really enjoyed about this area was I saw the same progression. I saw the same enthusiasm, the same community like feel in different areas that I really enjoyed with St. Pete. So I took a stab and tried to do the whole yoga and coffee thing here. Fun fact, yoga and coffee never opened. This thing called COVID happened, if you've never heard of it. And there were a few other things that went into the why I didn't open up yoga and coffee. But specifically, the main thing as to why I didn't with the space that I am in is because of COVID. And I knew, though, that I still wanted to get that community feel. So now inside the yoga studio, we have a co-working space. We have a way for you to buy coffee and things like that there. So we still have that what I like to call yoga off the mat feel. It's not just a full blown coffee shop. Like I can't make you your favorite flavored latte, but I can give you a can of cold brew.
All right. Now there's so much to unpack with this thing. I mean, first of all, a couple of things that stand out. You know, you talk about it started with a blog and a website, and you're glad that they're not there because they weren't very good. But I think, you know, the lesson learned in all of that is that that was your first step. It was like the start.
And for me, a lesson learned is I think there are certain ways that you, as a business owner, you have to realize what are your strengths and weaknesses, and you have to realize where do you need to put money. And unfortunately, a lot of other people are going to try to take your money. Like the amount of times that I have been offered for somebody to redo a website or to do marketing for me and things like that. Did I pay to now have both of my websites done? Yes. And I am so happy that I did, because I only get people say that they're very easy to use, they're user-friendly, they like how they look, and nobody would have said any of the above if I did it.
Yeah.
However, I know that for me, using social media and marketing, that is something that I felt confident with. I felt like I could handle that piece of the puzzle. For me, that was, okay, I will save money here, and I'm going to spend money by letting somebody else manage my website.
Yeah, and it's also a question of scale too, because it's not just a matter of what are you good at and what are you not good at that you should probably outsource, but it also comes down to when you start scaling that business, you've got about 30 daily tasks. You don't have the time to do all of them well. It's mm-hmm. also, it also comes down to time, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Time is money. Whoever made that little phrase, quote, whatever, very, very smart human.
They were probably a business owner. Because I think we live in an environment right now, just being in the military, we don't equate time with money, because it's just what we produce doesn't have a dollar bill or revenue associated with it. It comes in very not quantitative but qualitative terms. So I think that's something that everybody remembers if they want to go down the entrepreneur route. And I'll tell you, the community events, am I saying that right? Community mm-hmm. related functions and events, that mm-hmm. it just seems like a great way to create partnerships where you gain more of a following and more brand recognition. Is that right?
Yeah. To continue on this community-based feel, that's how Sky's the Limit started. So I moved here in June of 2017. I knew that I needed to create a following. That was an important thing that I learned in Florida. I walked down, the business is no longer open, unfortunately, but there was a brewery called Bearded Bird. And I walked in, had a beer. I was like, oh, you guys are new. They said, yes. So I'm new to the area. I'm opening a yoga studio soon. Would you be interested in yoga? And they were like, sure. When? And I was like, let's do it the first weekend of July, which ends up sometimes not being a good thing. But July 4th, people travel, things like that. I knew not a single person here, and I will never forget that class. We had 18 people. That was all from me just posting on different social media platforms, different Facebook groups, things like that. And so Sky's the Limit continued to grow just from the community-based. We even moved into different cities all in the community-based before the brick and mortar opened. We were nominated for best yoga studio like three years in a row before we had a brick and mortar. I'll never forget the first time the Virginia Pilot called and they were like, we don't know the address to send your banners to. And I was like, it's my house. Can I come pick them up? So community-based is still, it's a huge part of us. It's a backbone for us. It's how a lot of people just even get to know us, how they know of Sky's the Limit is because they did yoga at a brewery. They did it whenever they got their coffee.
Wow. That's, man, I'm motivated. It's awesome. No, because you could almost remove the fact that it's yoga and just look at the model, right? You move to a new location. You have to create a following, establish brand recognition, get people interested in the service you provide, right?
110%. I always give so much credit to restaurants that start off as something like a food truck and then go into a restaurant, because that is simply them scaling their business. I don't know much about the back end of food, except for the piece of the puzzle that it is complex. And there are so many rules and regulations in the world of food, the world of restaurants. And if you can learn that without being attached to a lease that is an astronomical amount, and you can handle something that's like, let's buy this truck for $2,000 and, you know, turn it over, make it something pretty, buy this little equipment and go to these different places, and spread the word out by being at different breweries and being able to offer food to their clients. I think it is so smart of people to do that. And I really think whenever it comes to any business venture, like I like to think of it as no matter what it is, people are trusting you as soon as they walk into the door. They are trusting the business. So how do you develop that trust first? How do you get them to even come into the door? You get them to come into the door because they've heard of you, because they know of you. Well, how do they know of you if you've never done anything besides that split second of, hey, we're open?
Yeah. And all of this was done in a pretty significant transition. I mean, there are some parallels. You did a complete geographic relocation, and I'm sure as starting out with your business, you're living beneath your means as best you can so that you can start developing that following. What was that like?
That was a challenge. The first like week or two, it was pretty sick. Because I had never not worked before, you know?
Yeah.
So that was cool. I will say that was how a lot of people will take, let's say, a break in between maybe school and their first big job. You know, I did a 2-week backpack tour or something. Yeah, I toured the city of Norfolk.
Yeah.
I walked into so many businesses, some of them that I honestly haven't even been to since that first week of me living here. Okay. So I will say I did give myself a week or two just to be happy, to be proud of myself. Like moving is scary. And to soak that up, I did give myself that like week. And then I was back to grind mode, back to, you know, you don't need to go out and buy yourself a glass of wine. Like, let's go get the real cheap bottle at Trader Joe's and just have fun at home kind of a feel. There was a lot of ways to look at savings and things like that. But I also looked from the business perspective of how can I make the most money? So what's another way that you get to know a business? One is is word of mouth, right? Another is from just like swag, from gear. So I had a logo made for Sky's the Limit.
Yeah.
I used a local company. We made two different runs of shirts. And every community class I went to, I wore a Sky's the Limit shirt. And I said, I am looking to open up a yoga studio and coffee shop here in Norfolk, Virginia. Here is some swag that we have. You can follow us on Facebook. We're at a bunch of these different places, blah, blah, blah. And I literally went to Grain, a rooftop bar. I went into breweries. I went at the park and I had this Tupperware box of shirts and people would come and dig through them and they would buy shirts. I had a coffee and yoga design. People would buy tote bags that said coffee and yoga,
Yeah. All
this stuff. And that was that a business expense that I was a little nervous to put into? Because, I mean, buying, you know, the items. Yeah, it was the first time I ever bought merchant, like I ever bought a wholesale, I guess I'd say. And, but I quickly saw the money I can make from selling t-shirts. And I was like, okay, this is worth it. This is a good thing. And now at the brick and mortar, we have like a cute little shop. And I tell people all the time, a passive form of income is us having that shop. I was really nervous in the beginning with how much stuff to fill it with. And even seeing the prices of what I paid before we opened up the studio to just, because you know, you can't have a clothing rack with just like one shirt. That's lame.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a lot of money up front for that. And man, people love clothes. People love, we sell coffee cups, we sell earrings, we sell mat cleaner, essential oils. Like that is a huge moneymaker for us. And it's something that a lot of people in, let's say, a yoga studio realm just totally skip over.
Okay. So there is a return on investment in terms of making a profit off of the things that you sell. But there's probably that immeasurable return on investment in terms of free marketing and probably just, your place is such a good vibe. I'm kind of a minority. I'm a dude in there. There are a few other dudes in there, but I look back at it and I respect the vibe because it's just a very welcoming environment, and maybe it's the merchandise that kind of adds to that vibe.
I heard recently on a podcast that I was listening to, and I really don't remember which what it was, but it was a business podcast. And maybe it was the interview of Brian Chesky, the owner of Airbnb, which was a fantastic podcast. But anyways, He said that whenever you walk into a business, or whenever you walk in from his perspective, whenever you, he would say, walk into my app, you are seeing, like, whenever you walk into somebody's home, right? Whenever you walk into the studio, you get a feel of me. Even though I just said, yes, I put so much value into my teachers and I very much include them as part of the business. I would not be here without them. No ifs, ands, or buts. But whenever you walk in, it is me. And here's a perfect example of it. We opened on Black Friday, so the day after Thanksgiving in November of 2021.
That's pretty good.
We through a bunch of different permitting stuff, and in all honesty, I don't even remember what the technical permit was, but getting permits from the city is a challenge for sure. Long story short, and Chris, I'm sure you're going to look at these the next time you're in the studio, but whenever you walk out of our bathrooms, there's an exit sign, and it was like, I guess, a foot off of where it was supposed to be. And so they were in there on the Tuesday, maybe it was Monday before the week of opening, and they failed our inspection because our exit sign was off. I wasn't in there. I wasn't supposed to be in there. It was me and the contractor and the city employee. And he called me and I was like, well, move the thing, like move the exit sign. Like what's the holdup? And so long story short, they were supposed to come back on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, to give us this approval. Now, basically, what this approval meant was that I was allowed to then open for business. So I was not supposed to look like I was an open business, meaning like, yes, the structure, right? The doors, the walls, all that stuff can be up, but I wasn't supposed to have like all my retail set up and everything like that. So everything from the couch that you see to the mirrors that you see to even just we have like hanging racks that are put into the walls. All of that was still in boxes. I had ordered everything like a crazy person online in October and they sat in my house. We moved them into the studio room. So they were just sitting there. And the best part is that the city employee never came because they let them go on the early part of Wednesday because it was the day before Thanksgiving. And I just decided, my contractor told me, I think you should go for it and Monday we'll deal with the consequences. So at that point, there was me, my husband, and a few friends, and we went crazy town. We started opening up everything. As you know, Chris, there is a stand-up mirror that is in our little, what we call our off-the-mat shop, where all the merchandise is. It was never supposed to be there. There were supposed to be two of those mirrors inside each bathroom. And I didn't know because I couldn't open up these boxes that one of them was completely shattered to bits. So it had a new home. And we literally did all of this Wednesday night and all day Thanksgiving. The studio looked 95% of what it does to what you see now in the matter of like 36 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. But my point of that story is all of that was a vision, right? Like you said that, you know, you like how it looks and all these things. All of that was just me. Like I had this vision in my head of, I want these white brick walls and I want little pops of color and something like a green couch. And we have one class that's called Hakuna Matata. So I found a sign that says Hakuna Matata that goes above the couch. People might not even know that we have that class, but they read that saying, and I'm assuming that everybody knows that it just means no worries, which is, you know, a yoga vibe, right? I think that you have to be able to put a true amount of yourself into something as a business owner in order to make it work. The more you it is, the more authentic it is, the more that people are going to trust it, the more they're going to like it. And if I just, you know, hired somebody to kind of try to piece it all together, I bet you we would have not even made the grand opening day. Like, because they wouldn't have been there on Thanksgiving Day to help me put stuff where they thought it should be, you know?
Yeah. Like outsourcing the creative design of your storefront has its significant drawbacks if it deviates more from who you are and ultimately the culture that you can sustain in the long run.
100%.
Okay. Oh, geez. So much to unpack here. I got a note down here, 95 degree Christmas. Yeah. Yeah. Those of you that are from 29 Palms or Yuma, Arizona, you know what that's all about.
Yes, it's not fun.
I'm going to transition now. I want you to coach the audience.
Okay.
Well, so let's talk about yoga. And I'm talking to you guys. Those of you who are on the other end of the line, like, yoga's not for me, you know, and you're also the ones probably like, if you're yoga's not for me and I'm getting ready to retire and like, yeah, my VA claim, I'm all messed up, my knees, my back, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, the benefits of yoga. And here, the first question I've got, because I wrote these down in advance, you know, a lot of service members are going from a completely structured lifestyle. That's one of the benefits of the military. I mean, it's kind of cultural where, hey, I'm going to go PT during lunch and that's going to take a little bit of time, or we all do it in the morning. It just depends on what kind of unit. And then when we get out of the military, we don't have that structure. And I'm sure you've had clients that needed help creating some type of sustainable physical training regimen. So how do you normally approach that?
From a yoga perspective, I always like to think of it as, you have some people that will try yoga and they're hooked from the beginning, right? So maybe that's you as you're listening. Maybe you've never done yoga before and you go in and you try one class and you're like, dude, this was awesome. Cool. Fantastic. Good for you. You're going to get other people that go into yoga and they were like, if I have to, kind of a feeling. And from this route, I say two things. Number one, maybe three. Number one is that yoga is the only type of movement where you have this very almost intimate feeling with the teacher. So I also have, from a movement perspective, I've coached CrossFit. I have taught spin for a very short period of time because I absolutely hated it. That's another story. In those settings, in a CrossFit class, for example, I would break down the warm-up. I would help them and, you know, go one-on-one with somebody if we're in a lifting session. And then whenever it gets to your Metcon, the WOD, something that's like an AMRAP, an EMOM, I turn the volume up. I say, 3, 2, 1, go. And I then walk around and I kind of yell little things at each person to, you know, either tell them like, come on, you got this, or help them correct form or things like that. Now in yoga, I am literally guiding you through each and every step, meaning you're hearing me talk the entire class. If it is somebody's voice even that you don't like, you're not going to like the class. So I do recommend to people, first thing, if it's something that you didn't necessarily enjoy, try another teacher. Second thing is try another type of yoga. So we automatically think back to the story that I started with. I thought that yoga was just meditation. Is that a piece of yoga? Yes. Is that all of yoga? No. So if you want yoga just to be like a really chill stretch, there are classes for that. That would probably fall to more of something that's called restorative or yin. If you're looking to be challenged, challenge your core, challenge those smaller muscle groups that support, let's say, your shoulder, your hip, then you're going to want something that's a bit more to the movement base. There are also classes that will make you really freaking sweaty, like a power class or going to other inversion-y like classes, you know, doing fun things on your hands, playing around like you're a kid. My point is that there are a lot of different avenues for you. And then the third, so we have the first person that they might not like the teacher. The second person, they're not sure really what type of movement that they need. And then we have this third person that's like, you know, my doctor said that I should do yoga and it's just okay. I like to tell people it's okay for it to be just okay, but it's also going to help you to live a healthier life longer. Supplement yoga however you need to make the things that you want to do more accessible. If you are a runner, yoga is going to help you with that. If you like to lift in the gym, yoga is going to help you with that. If you like to climb, if you just want to be able to move around with your kids, be able to throw the football whenever you're 60, well, yoga is going to help you with that. So my third thing is I like to almost say the like suck it up buttercup kind of a feeling and, you know, find that thing that is at least, you know, you somewhat like it, you know, it's okay. And it's okay to just supplement that in, right? Think of it like you're taking an extra vitamin, you know, I got to do this one time a week and fill it in from there. But there is a type of yoga for everybody. I 1000% believe that.
Yeah. And that's what I do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I really like yoga, but I use it as a, because I'm, if I have only X number of hours in my day and, you know, running's my thing, but maybe for a listener, basketball's their thing. It's, mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing to supplement that. It's just another form of cross training, except it's low impact. You're not likely, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that the, sure, somebody's been injured doing yoga before, but the probability of injury is extremely low. And then you get all these other health benefits out of it that aren't necessarily musculoskeletal, right?
100%. So I know before you were saying that the military, you know, you have almost this set time when you go to PT, no matter what your form of movement is. So even with running, Chris, I can guarantee you that you would be able to run faster at a certain point, even if your mind is telling you no. You have two other parts of this thing that make you as you're running. One is your physical body and the other is your breath. And a lot of times our central nervous system goes to this like warning section. It's like, yo, slow down. What's happening? And you then think like, because your legs are maybe talking to you, right? Or your core is like, it's working. We think it's that like, oh, you know, I'm not strong enough to be able to push to get that 3 seconds shaved off of my mile or something. Instead, it is 99% of the time your breath. Your breath is used in every form of movement, period. Not only is breath helpful with movement itself, it's helpful whenever you have those just really tight areas. If you've never gotten a massage before, number one, that's your homework. Go get a massage because they're magical. Number two, if there's a part that's really tight, you're probably going to just like suck your breath in and hold your breath. And if it's a masseuse that knows what they're doing, they're going to be like, okay, let's try to breathe. Let's try to breathe. And you might listen, you might not. But ideally, that tight muscle, it needs oxygen to be able to kind of break up, to loosen up, right? So our breath is helpful to get those knots out. Your breath is also helpful just to calm you. Like, I don't care, you can be the calmest person in the world, but there is something that agitates you. For me, it's whenever somebody cuts me off whenever I'm driving. Like, I am the first person to like flip somebody the bird. So not yogi of me, right? But I can tell you that before I did yoga, the term road rage, like I totally resonated with that. I was a straight up Now I might be an sometimes, but I do take a moment to like breathe whenever I'm in the car. I'm not saying that it helps like a light switch, but it makes a difference. So your breath is, it is truly such a complex thing that I personally don't think we even have enough science to be able to fully understand how, if, and where our breath impacts us.
Yeah, I know that there are studies out there and they talk about O2 saturation and efficient mm-hmm. breathing. Breathing more through the nose helps O2 saturation better than breathing through the mouth. But I think it's developing kind of muscle memory. I mean, we talk about muscle memory. That's why a lot of us start out when we're going to recruit training or officer candidate school. You have to do drill, you know, you hold the rifle this way, you develop muscle memory on how you hold or perform certain things. I think breathing can be the same way, and it actually creates more efficiency in whatever physical activity you're performing.
Definitely. And I think the term that you just used, mind-muscle connection, it's still that same thought. The main issue that a lot of people have with something like breathing is they normally fall into the mindset of, well, duh, I'm breathing. Like I'm alive. I'm breathing. You know, we view it as this is this simple, easy thing. So why do I have to put attention to it? Even if you see somebody practicing, let's say a breath work or a breath pattern, you're watching them and you're like, well, I can do that because it looks easy. There's nothing that looks hard about it. A lot of times for me, whenever I work through breath work, I'm either laying down or sitting down. And I'm sure everybody listening does both of those things. So it looks easy. And just because it looks easy doesn't mean it is.
Yeah. I know that we're limited a little bit on time, so let's go to wrap it up here. I'm going to ask you the same question that I ask all of our guests. If there are two or three things that you want our listeners to remember as they prepare for their transition out of the military, what are they?
One is I would recommend that you stay true to yourself, but be comfortable with small adaptations. And what I mean by that is I was very strict with my vision on a yoga studio that provided a community feel. What did I deviate from? I deviated from the coffee shop, but I was very true to my vision. I don't think that I would have the clientele or the following that I do if I didn't keep that piece of the puzzle. A lot of people tell me that they like my yoga classes because I'm real, because I'm raw. I mean, one of my favorite intentions. So in a yoga class, if you've never taken one, you normally start by like maybe connecting to an affirmation, a mantra. And one of my favorite ones that I have had people come up to me for years and tell me that they still think about me telling them this in yoga is this phrase that I like to say, you have to feel your shit so you don't lose your shit. And my point is that sometimes people hear that in a yoga class and they automatically like kind of relax them. They're like, oh, this chick's kind of cool. I can stay here. You know, there's no weird hippie yoga stuff going on kind of a feel. Not saying I don't do weird hippie yoga stuff, but just saying it makes you think that I am, you know, that we're having a conversation, right? So to answer your question, I would just say, stay true to yourself. You know, you have to stay true to your identity, but be comfortable with making those small changes. If I never took the step to do virtual yoga, man, I don't know if I ever would have opened, in all honesty. Whenever COVID happened and we got shut down, I created a virtual platform in literally like 48 hours. And we had 50 members in a week. And I literally cried because I was like, this is how everything ends. My vision's done. I'm going to have to go back to corporate America. I was like, I don't know what else to do. Now we even have people that are still signing up for virtual memberships. We have over 400 videos available on demand. Like, it has turned out to be a blessing in disguise for us, for sure. So again, one thing I would say to people is stay true to yourself. Just be comfortable with making those smaller adjustments. And then the other one I would say, I kind of mentioned earlier, is that that talk of grind culture, right? What I talked about recently on a podcast was, I don't want you to have grind culture, but I don't want you to have excuse culture either. So you ultimately are always in control of everything that you do. And I don't want you to be in the grind culture of what we talked about earlier, where you were me going to school, working a full-time job, working a part-time job, studying yoga, like the list goes on and on of the things that I had on my plate. I do not recommend you to be in that form of a grind culture, but I also want you to make sure that you're not in excuse culture. So, for example, we are officially 5 days away from me doing yoga and moving a mile for 1,000 days in a row, which I'm pretty proud of. That's a little fun fact of mine. But so many times people just ask me like the how, you know, like, oh my gosh, how were you able to do that? And I like to use the idea of I'm reducing the barrier of entry. So that doesn't mean that I'm running every single day. It just means that I moved with my feet for a mile. And I've done that in airports. I have done that on a treadmill if I needed to. I've thrown on rain boots, you know. It has driven me in that sense. And from yoga, that also doesn't mean that I'm going through this full long hour class. I set aside for me this, like, my goal has been I have to be moving on my yoga mat for 10 minutes. Well, guess what? That might mean that I do two stretches for 10 minutes on my yoga mat. And that's okay, right? But I think that I've only proven to myself that I don't need to make the excuse of I don't have time for yoga. I have 10 minutes. And if there is something that you're searching for as you listener are stepping out of the military, if there is something that you're, you know, really itching to do, a new tool, a new job, a new movement pattern, find that mixture. Don't be a crazy hard grinder, but don't fall into the excuse culture either, because both, I think, can both have a bit of evil, but both can be a little disheartening.
I know that I've asked some questions, but you know, our time is limited. There are probably listeners that have other questions. How can they get in touch with you? How can they follow you? Or if they're interested in yoga and want to try it out, Where can they go?
Yeah. So yoga is Sky's the Limit Yoga Co. You can find us just by searching that on for our website. It's skysthelimityogaco.com. You can use that same wording. Skys is SKYS, the Limit Yoga Co. We're pretty active on Instagram, Facebook, things of that nature. So you can find us there. If you are not local to the 757 area, on the website, like I just said a moment ago, we have virtual yoga offerings. So I would love to see you there. You can either take a live class or you have the ability to take a class on demand. It kind of works like Blockbuster, if you ever remember what that thing is, where you can rent a class for 10 days. You'll have access to be able to take it as many times as you want. We also have virtual memberships and things like that that are very savvy on your pocket. You know, they don't cost you a crazy ton. So again, all of that is Sky's the Limit Yoga Co. And then if you are looking from anything that is more to the strength, mobility, and nutrition coaching, I know we haven't talked too much about that area, but that is my other business, which is all more online. My business is The Caffeinated Yogi. You can find that again by doing a little Google search for the website. On Instagram, it is The Caffeinated Yogi Co. And I also have a podcast as well that is called Caffeinated Yogi Talks. And that also is the same handle on Instagram, Caffeinated Yogi Talks.
And I will make sure that all of that goes in the episode notes. So if you're listening to this, you can pull up the episode notes on your podcast app, and we'll have links to all of that. And by the way, we didn't talk about it either, but you're kind of an overachiever. I mean, you've got so many certifications, and you're well-educated, well-trained. This is not somebody that just kind of, well, it worked for them, and so that's what they're going to provide their client. I mean, you're very well-trained and certified in all of these services that you provide your clients. Danielle, thank you so much for coming on. It was, man, we went places that I didn't think we'd go, and I learned a lot from this conversation, so thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, I'll be in touch. And Danielle Talley has left the virtual studio. That was great. I hope you found it informative. Maybe some of you are interested in maybe giving yoga a shot. I think everybody should try something the first time, every time. That's kind of how I looked at it. I was going to go for a month, try and recover from overtraining and see where it got me. And actually, I'm stronger and more mobile and more flexible in many ways. Plus, Hadley's here, and she goes to the children's class at the same time I go to the adult class on Saturdays, and they usually start around 9:30. So what's your class like, kiddo?
I say it's really good. We have half yoga, half art. And I really like yoga and art. I really think it's good. I just do. And together, I say that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. Hey, do you have a favorite yoga pose?
Maybe a moon pose, or it's called splat. I can't wait to be taught again.
What's your favorite art piece that you've made out of the class?
So we could take like what our project home. And one of our projects I took home was actually a birdhouse. I really liked it.
Oh, yeah. The birdhouse is pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yes.
And I feel pretty good after it. I actually feel super chill. How do you feel at the end of the class?
Very good.
Yeah?
Very good.
And then what do we do afterwards?
Normally we go to like a bakery. There's some bakeries around there and...
Just admit it. You're on the hunt for a cupcake. It's okay.
Not a cupcake. A muffin.
A muffin. That's right. Chocolate chip muffin. Anyway... Look, major benefits coming out of it. If you haven't tried it before, I just recommend giving it a shot, particularly if you're looking for greater mobility, flexibility, and in a weird way, it does improve strength. It's just a different type of strength, like that kind that where you're holding like when you're doing a plank and you haven't done it in a while and your body completely shakes. It's that kind of strength that I think we develop from yoga, and then it's just a mental release. So that's it. I mean, that's all we have to say about this episode. So let's close this thing out. And if you're still listening, thank you very much for listening. And if you like what you heard, you can support our podcast by By what are we looking for, Hadley?
A 5-star review, or whatever you think we rate.
That's right, 5 stars. You can also follow the new Mission Career Transition podcast on
Spotify,
yeah.
Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or other podcast apps.
You can also follow us on Instagram at New Mission CT. That's New Mission Charlie Tango.
We would also love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, so you can DM us on Instagram, or you can send us an email at our address, newmissionct@gmail.com. We'll get back to you as soon as we can.
If you're prepared for your own transition,
know that I'm right there with you.
So until next time,
stay focused.